The prophetic clock is ticking in what some are calling the most tumultuous times in human history, from corrupt global politics to an outright rebellion against God and His Word. Humanity has reached a critical tipping point. So what happens next? Today's guest will explain right now. Welcome, everybody, once again to the Skywatch Television Studios. I'm Joe Horn, and I'm joined today by an incredible panel, Skywatch investigative team, and today's special guest. Let me introduce him right now. He holds an honorary doctorate of literature from the King's University, author of over 17 books with more than 45 years in the study of eschatology, Jimmy Evans. So good to finally meet you.
Be here, thank you.
I saw you and my father a couple of weeks ago on Daystar for the big telethon. What
Absolutely.
An explosive night. We love those programs. But I want to get, without delay, right into your new book, Tipping Point, The End Is Near. In part of the book, you talk about a supernatural intervention that caused you to, quote, fall in love with Israel. What was that experience?
Well, when I got saved at 19 years old, I didn't know any of the Bible. I had been a very good heathen before I got saved. And I had never heard of a Jew, and I had never heard of Israel. And so my wife took me to a Christian bookstore to get me a Bible one day. And we went to this Christian bookstore, and I couldn't believe all the books in a Christian bookstore. You know, so I can't believe anybody would read that many books about stuff like that. Karen, my wife, was looking around, and I noticed a poster on the wall. And it said Israel, and it had a menorah. That's all it was. Now, I didn't know how to say Israel. I thought it was saying Israel.
Okay.
And so when I saw the poster, I absolutely fell in love like I'd seen the most beautiful woman in the world. I mean, it was just a total supernatural falling in love. And I went to the man at the front, the manager of the bookstore, and I said, that poster over there that says Israel, what is that? He said, that's Israel. I said, what's that? And he said, well, it's a country. I said, so? He said, well, the Jews live there. And I said, what's a Jew? And he said, Jesus. I said, Jesus is a Jew? He said, yeah, Jesus is a Jew. That's where Jesus was. That's the Holy Land. And so when I hear today people who are anti-Semitic and people who are talking bad about Jewish people, I don't love Israel or the Jewish people because I ever knew about them or I was trained to love them.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I love them because God supernaturally put me in love with them that day in that bookstore. And since that day, my wife feels the same way, but since that day, I've absolutely had a supernatural love for the Jewish people. And now this is in a day where anti-Semitism is rising in the church.
Yes.
And so this is one of the, by the way, it's a sign of the times.
Right.
The last scene of human history is the entire world marching against Jerusalem. And so you see that happening right now in the United Nations. The United Nations has censured Israel more than all other countries combined. And so today, the anti-Semitism that's rising in Europe, many Jews are having to move out of Europe, either to come to the United States or back to Israel. And so my testimony is that supernaturally, God put me in love with Israel. And I believe that if you're a believer and you're anti-Semitic, you need to examine your faith. And even if you're saved or not. Our Savior is a Jew. His mother's a Jew. Every person who wrote the Bible is a Jew. And 100% of the people that were in the church on the day of Pentecost were Jews, and they let us in the club. And so we need to understand the most important book in the world came from the Jews, the most important man in the world came from the Jews, and the most important organization in the world, the church, came from the Jews.
And that's something we talked recently with Dr. David Reagan about, just a shocking increase in anti-Semitism, even amongst people that self-identify as believers. I mean, what do you think is behind that? I mean, what is this?
I think it's a spirit. I really do believe that it is a spirit. And I'm not going to say that everyone who is anti-Semitic is lost.
Okay.
I'm almost going to say that. But I believe it's a spirit. It's something that happens to turn the world against Jews at a particular time. These are the end times. These are very important times. And now we see the reestablishment of Israel in 1948. But again, the Bible prophesies that the entire world, imagine the nation of Israel is this tiny little nation. If you put it inside of Lake Michigan, there'd be room left over. This tiny little nation, they're the focal point of the entire world. As far as international diplomacy is concerned. Then you take the city of Jerusalem, this one little city, and that's the most disputed piece of real estate on the planet right now. So much so that even during the Obama administration, the United Nations was calling on a forcible two-state solution, is to go in and force them to divide Jerusalem. And, of course, the Jews say Jerusalem is our eternal, indivisible capital. And I believe they'll fight for that. And I believe that's part of what Armageddon's about.
Sure.
So it's just, it's coming true before our very eyes. And it's just another sign that we're in the end times.
And Jimmy, you probably saw where now the Biden administration is wanting to push the borders of Israel back to their pre-67 positions in order for a two-state solution. So basically we're reviving those horrific Obama era policies, or at least we are trying to.
Yeah. And you're talking about pre-1967, you take away the Golan Heights, you take away all this land they have, you gut all Israel. It's really unbelievable. And so the Biden administration now is going really back to the Obama doctrines as it relates to Israel. That's very, very troubling.
Yeah, and of course, at the same time, you have a growing anti-Semitism also in the U.S. Congress, a growing number of people who are openly anti-Semitic and opposed to Israel. So, but of course, that is prophetic, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, Zechariah 12 says, again, I'm going to make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all the people, and anyone who tries to move it is going to be harmed. And so you saw Donald Trump, President Trump, recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and put our embassy there in Jerusalem. Now they're talking about moving it and taking it out of Jerusalem. So Jerusalem has become this very controversial place. And of course, that's what the end is about. Now, I believe there's no doubt about it. The United Nations, without the restraint of America, would have already taken action against Israel.
And do you believe that this is going to be part of what the Antichrist is going to do, is somehow he's going to come up with some resolution that temporarily creates peace among both the Jews and the Palestinians?
Well, my personal belief is there's a Psalm 83 war, which is a regional war, and then there's the Gog and Magog war, Ezekiel 38 and 39, which is more of an international war. Russia, Iran, Syria, Turkey, those type of places, they're all basically aligned today. They're all against Israel. And it says that God will provoke them and pull them down to the mountains of Israel and destroy them himself. And it will take 7 years to clean up the debris and 7 months to bury the dead. So I believe that war will happen before the tribulation. And I believe that very likely that war will lead to the establishing of a covenant, the affirmation of a covenant between the Antichrist and the nation of Israel. I believe there will be some type of crisis that leads to the covenant between the Antichrist and Israel. There'll also be an international situation where the Antichrist rides in as the rider on the white horse. And he rides in as the answer man, supposedly the answer man, a false savior, and makes this peace. But we know the peace lasts for 42 months. It lasts for 3.5 years. Allows them to rebuild their temple. There has to be a rebuilt temple. They're ready to rebuild the temple right now. And so they'll rebuild the temple. It says in 3.5 years after the beginning of the covenant that he establishes, he will go in and stop sacrifices. And he will set up the abomination of desolation, proclaiming himself God, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And so at that point, Jesus said, those will be the worst days of human history. When you see the abomination of desolation set up, Jesus said in Matthew 24, and it says, let the reader understand. And that is imperative tense there, which means you have to understand this. It says, when you see the abomination of desolation, this will be a time of tribulation, great tribulation. That's why we call it the great tribulation. In 3.5 years in, there'll be a time of great tribulation such the world has never seen, and unless those days would have been cut short, no flesh would have survived.
Right.
So we see the first 3.5 years of the tribulation after the covenant of peace. The first 3.5 years is the rise of the Antichrist and the ministry of the two witnesses. Some people say, and I have said before, that the Antichrist will allow Israel to rebuild the temple. Another possibility is this. The two witnesses are untouchable. They call down fire from heaven. If anyone tries to touch them, they die in the manner that they try to kill them. They can stop the rain from raining on any nation in the world. And by the way, they're hated. They're hated so much that when the Antichrist kills them, people send gifts to each other. And they, you know you're hated when people send gifts to each other when you die. And so these guys are absolutely despised. But they themselves can protect the temple builders and keep them from being harmed while they're building the temple. The Antichrist doesn't have to give his permission for them to build a temple. And think about this. So think about PETA. Think about when the Jews rebuild the temple, there's going to be blood flowing from that temple because there are going to be animal sacrifices from that temple like you've never seen before. When think about PETA and all of the animal rights groups around the world and their reaction to temple sacrifice, and the very first thing the Antichrist does is stop sacrifices. Okay, he will be the great hero of the world from stopping the Jews from doing the animal sacrifices. Then, of course, he proclaims himself God and everything else happens. But I believe the beginning of the tribulation could be precipitated. I know it's going to be precipitated by a covenant with the Antichrist. That's what Daniel 9 says. But I believe what precipitates the covenant is going to be the Gog and Magog war, very likely.
So in your book, you make a couple of interesting references, and I'm going to quote you here. You call Israel as the prophetic canary in the coal mine and God's super sign. Why is Israel so essential to prophetic times?
You can't have an end time without Israel. And so you can't have an abomination of desolation without a rebuilt temple. Jesus said that Rome actually would come against Israel, which they did in AD 70, that they would destroy them, raise the temple. He said not one stone would be left on the other, scatter them around the world, and Jerusalem would be trodden underfoot by the non-Jews until the time of the non-Jews was fulfilled, which happened in 1967. So there are many prophecies in the Bible that just simply can't come true without the reexistence of Israel as a nation. Without Israel, you just don't have an end time.
Sure.
Right.
And so in Joel 3, God says, in those days and at that same time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I'm going to enter into judgment with the nations in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, that for the way that they've treated my people Israel, they've scattered them through the nations and they've divided up my land. Okay. God says, in the same days, at the same time, that I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, Armageddon is going to happen. The Valley of Jehoshaphat means Jehovah is judge. The Valley of Jehoshaphat is the valley between the Temple Mount and the Mount of Olives, right there. This is where Jesus returns. His feet return to the Mount of Olives. And so he says, at that same time, Jesus said, the generation that sees these things happen will see all things fulfilled. Well, the million-dollar question is, how long is the generation? Okay. And there's a lot of argument about that. But prophecy is of no private interpretation.
Right.
Okay. So Psalm 90 says, the days of a man's life are 70 years. I don't like that because I'm 67. that's not a good scripture for me. But if by measure of strength, they're 80 years. Okay? I'm believing for that one right there, or more. So how long is the generation? We're already past 70. So if Israel started in 1948 and that began the clock, okay, in those days, and at that same time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, the clock started in 1948. Mm-hmm. Okay, if Jesus said, the generation that sees the beginning of the signs will see the end of the signs. See, a lot of people say, you know, every generation has had signs of the end times. They absolutely have. Every generation's had earthquakes. Every generation's had famines. Every generation's had some bad guy that they thought was the Antichrist. Sure. We don't have signs. We have every sign.
Oh, gotcha.
We are seeing
all the boxes are
checked. We are seeing the convergence of every end time sign coming true. Okay, and so the point being, Jesus said the generation that sees these things happen will see all things fulfilled. Okay, so how long is the generation? Well, we're already past 70 years, because if it started in 1948, 2018 was the 70th anniversary of Israel. Okay, so right now we're about 72, 73 years into it. But however, when Jesus said the generation that sees these will see all things fulfilled, he was including in that the abomination of desolation and the second coming. So let me put it this way. If the rapture happened right now, you have to add seven more years. If pre-tribulation rapture, if Jesus raptured his church right now, and we went to heaven to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the world went through 7 years of tribulation, at the end of the tribulation, you're at 80 years. Okay. So when my book says the end is here, and I do not set dates, I have no dates that I've set.
Sure.
But if you just do the math, you just know that we're late into the game.
Right. Mm-hmm. When you look at what's happening politically and socially around the world, and you see all of these prophetic moves and counter moves being done, you know, countries with heated and escalated speech, what do you think that tipping point is, and how close do you think we are?
Well, and tipping point just means it's a point of no return.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So when they asked Jesus in Matthew 24 about the signs of the end times, he said, don't let anybody deceive you. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when the Apostle Paul is talking about the return of Jesus, the only sign he gives is a great falling away from truth, apostasy. We are at a point of no return. We can't save boys and girls anymore.
Yep.
I never thought in my lifetime I would see the day that we're living in right now.
Right.
Absolutely.
Where truth has been decimated, there is an absolute war against the Word of God. Let me just take Genesis 1 for an example.
Okay.
Genesis 1, God created everything. Is that controversial?
Yeah.
God made them male and female.
Right.
Is that controversial?
That is.
You can't say that.
But let's just stay in Genesis 1.
Okay.
So just in Genesis 1, Satan is attacking every core belief in the Word of God, including Genesis 1 and Genesis 2.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an absolute war against the Word of God, and that's what 2 Thessalonians said. So when I talk about tipping point, you're not going to get it back. The good news for believers is Jesus is coming.
Yes. Amen.
And the most important thing to all of us is our family. And they're going to go with us if they're believers. Okay. But this world's going up in smoke. If you're trying to save this world, you're just going to be in bad shape.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, again, now Luke 17, Jesus is talking about the rapture. Okay. Right. And he talks about lightning flashing in the sky because he comes in the sky. Okay. And so he's talking about the rapture. He said it'll be like the days of Noah, like the days of Lot.
Right.
Buying, selling, marrying, giving in marriage, planting, building. And it says on the day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, it will be like that on the day of the coming of the Son of Man. Okay. Lot did not experience judgment. In fact, the angel said to Lot, we can't judge this place until you're gone and you've arrived at your destination.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so some people will say we're going to go through the tribulation, okay, or the rapture is at the end of the tribulation. And that is true. There's another rapture at the end of the tribulation. Okay. There are actually three raptures is a part of the seven-year period of the tribulation. Mm-hmm. But at the beginning of the tribulation, Jesus says, it'll be like the days of Noah, Lot, business as usual. Okay. Now, let's go to the people who say there's a rapture at the end or the raptures at the end of the tribulation. In Revelation chapter 6, the rider on the pale horse kills a fourth of mankind. Okay. Then Revelation 8 is wormwood. Then Revelation 9, three plagues kill a third of mankind. Revelation 16, all sea life dies. Okay. At the end of the tribulation, over half of humanity is dead. You can't bury all the bodies. There isn't buying, selling, marrying, giving in marriage. But Jesus said in Matthew 24, after the tribulation of those days, the Son of Man will come. They'll see his sign in the sky. He'll send his angels and they'll gather his elect. Those are the people who got saved during the tribulation. Okay? Mm-hmm. There'll be many millions, if not hundreds of millions of people that get saved during the tribulation. They're raptured at the end and they join us as the wife of Christ. Mm-hmm. But at the beginning, there's a huge benefit for serving Jesus today.
Yes.
And that is you don't go through the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because in Luke 17, where Jesus is talking about the days of Noah and the days of Lot, he describes the rapture. He says two people will be in one bed, one taken, one left. The word taken there is the word paralambano in the Greek, and it's important because in John 14, Jesus said, I'm going to go away. I'm going to my Father's house. Now, this is Jewish wedding language for anyone who understands the Jewish culture. I'm going away to my Father's house to prepare a place for you. And as surely as I leave, I'm going to return and receive you unto myself so that where I am, you may be also. Mm-hmm. The word receive you unto myself, that's one word in the Greek language, paralambano. So when Jesus says, two people are in one bed, one taken, one left. The word paralambano means I'm going to receive you unto myself. As surely as he's gone away to the Father's house to prepare a place for us, the rapture is him returning to receive us unto himself, to take us back to the Father's house. While the world is going through 7 years of the wrath of the Lamb, we're going through 7 years of the marriage supper of the Lamb. You're going to get lambed one way or the other.
Be careful which lamb you attend,
that's
right?
That's exactly right.
The book is Tipping Point. The end is here. We're going to continue this discussion on the other side of this break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The prophetic clock is ticking and time is running out. Skywatch TV is proud to present the Tipping Point special offer. When you order Jimmy Evans' new book, Tipping Point, from the Skywatch TV store, you'll also receive Dr. Thomas Horn's best-selling transhumanism expose, The Milieu, and the End Times Predictions Handbook, I Predict, which lays out the predictions of 12 global experts on what prophetic events we can expect by the year 2025 and how they will soon begin to impact our lives. From corrupt world politics and global pandemics to an unprecedented rebellion against God and His Word, humanity has reached a critical stage where we are left wondering what happens next. In his eye-opening book, Jimmy Evans uses his 45 years of experience in eschatology to examine biblical prophecies about the end times and point to their unmistakable parallels with today's world. With clear, insightful analysis of Scripture, he answers many timely questions, such as, are we actually living in the end times right now? How should believers respond to increasing immorality? Will Christians go through the tribulation? What role does Israel play in God's prophetic plan? Are COVID-19 and other world events announcing the imminent return of Jesus? You'll also receive I Predict, the End Times Prediction Manual for the coming days. Join 12 global experts such as Dr. Thomas Horn, Joel Richardson, Mark Biltz, Carl Gallups, Josh Peck, and many more as they examine extraordinary developments currently playing out in geopolitics, science, technology, and the supernatural through a biblical worldview, and what they believe will transpire before the year 2025. But that's not all. Also included in this incredible offer, you will receive The Milieu, where you will uncover why the world's top academics and futurists are identifying Dr. Thomas Horn and his milieu as the leaders of the transhuman resistance. Find out what this relentless team exposed about the rapidly approaching hybrid age and the glaring spiritual ramifications of merging man with machine that has top-level professors completely alarmed. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value over $90. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. So prepare for what's ahead and become a beacon of hope, peace, and encouragement for those you love in these tumultuous times we live in. This collection is available only while supplies last, so don't delay. The Tipping Point Special Offer, available now at SkyWatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to SkyWatch TV. I'm Joe Horn. We're in studio today with Jimmy Evans. We're talking about his new book, Tipping Point, The End Is Here. And during the break, Allie had a very interesting question, so we're going to field that to Allie real quick.
I want to ask about the soul tie, what it is, how you make one, how you break one. I'm very curious about that concept.
And you talk about that in your book, right?
Yes.
What is a soul tie?
It's talking about the sexual apostasy that's okay. In the world today. And so marriage is a covenant relationship.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And with a covenant, you have seals and signs. Okay. The Abrahamic covenant is an example. God cut Abraham. By the way, the word covenant means to cut. Okay. Mm. You don't make a covenant, you cut a covenant. There's blood. And so God came to Abraham. He made a covenant with him and he cut him. Okay. And he said, this is a perpetual sign between me and you and the Jewish people. When I look down from heaven, I see a Jewish man circumcised, you're in covenant. If I see a Jewish man not circumcised, you're not in covenant with me. Okay. And so Jesus said, this is the new covenant in my blood. By the way, there's a seal and there's a sign. The seal and sign of the Abrahamic covenant was circumcision. Jesus said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Mm-hmm. The covenant seal of the new covenant is water baptism. But the covenant sign is communion. Every time we take communion, we're saying to God, I'm still operating in the covenant. I still remember my covenant with you.
Yes. Right.
Those are two very sacred things. Marriage is a covenant, and sex is the covenant seal and sign of the marriage covenant. Mm-hmm. You actually consummate a marriage through sex. Okay, mm-hmm. A piece of paper from your state doesn't make you married in God's sight. Sex makes you married in God's sight. Sex is sacred in God's sight. Mm-hmm. And then the covenant sign of marriage is sex. When you have sex with your spouse, you're not just having pleasure with them. You're saying, I remember the covenant that I have with you. Okay, and this is very important. So marriage is sacred.
Yes.
Sex is sex is the only unique feature of marriage. Okay. We have completely decontextualized sex and marriage in
our
society.
You're right.
And so sex is just this consumer sport. Here's the problem. In 1 Corinthians 6, now Paul went into the Corinthian culture, mm-hmm. which was very godless culture, very immoral mm-hmm. culture. He's trying to teach them about morality, but there's a tremendous immorality within the church. And he says to them in 1 Corinthians 6, now don't you know, when you have sex with a prostitute, you become one with her?
Yeah.
See, we're not animals. Our spirits are connected to our genitals. When we have sex, we actually bond and become one with that other person. Mm-hmm. Another way to say it is this. After you have sex with someone, that person is still in you. You're still with that person. You become one with that person. So I heard a pastor one time give an analogy of soul ties. So we have a convenient sexuality in our culture where we just hook up and unhook up and hook up and unhook up. And he used duct tape and carpet. And he said, I want to give you an analogy of soul ties. And he said, you have sex with someone casually and you leave them after a one-night stand or a two-month stand or whatever, there's still carpet on the duct tape.
Yeah.
Okay. You take a part of that person with you. Then you hook up with the next person, and you unhook up with them. You still take some of them with you. Then you hook up with the next person, and the next person, finally, the tape won't stick to the carpet.
It's a mess.
Yep.
You are incapable of bonding to another individual, and you become a sexual predator.
And
we are seeing this today in men and women who have no intention of any relationship or any intimacy on a deep level. They're just hooking up. Sex has just become this this meat market. It's just
it's
a sexual
free for all.
That's
well,
right.
It's an addiction. It's mistaken for love. It's a means of selling products. It's everything except what you're
supposed
to be. The original design.
Well, and the problem is in the church too. I mean, some of the most recent polling showing that a majority of Christian men admit to being, you know, constant viewers of pornography. Mm-hmm. A little over 50% of women.
Right. Yep.
But then remember that that hookup site that was online.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I forget what it was even called, but their data got busted. And this is where you would set up having an affair with somebody.
Right.
That's
right.
What you would do. 500 pastors had to resign their churches because they got found to be part of that dating system where they were hooking up to have casual affair. 500 in the United States. So it's an astonishing problem. How does this tie to prophecy? You got 1 minute to give us the entire chapter. But.
So in 2 Timothy 3, the Apostle Paul says, "In the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, reviler, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, haters of good, brutal," all those things. We see all those
all
things.
Of it.
It's the degeneration of mankind.
Yeah.
Okay. So
absolutely.
What we're seeing today is the degeneration of mankind and a falling away from truths. So sexual deception. Remember now, when Adam and Eve fell, and God found them in Genesis 3, and he found them in the Garden of Eden. He said, "What is this that you've done, Adam?" He said, "I'm afraid because I'm naked." Remember, Genesis 2:25 says, God made them naked without shame. And God said to Adam, "Who told you you were naked?" God doesn't ask questions to get answers.
Right.
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 What God was trying to say to Adam is, when you sinned, you opened your spirit up, and that serpent over there came and whispered into your spirit that you were defective sexually. And he put shame on you that I never put shame on you, because Satan wants to use shame and sin to control us
and
sexually.
Fear. Yeah.
Whoever controls you sexually controls you for generations. And so Satan has always been after human sexuality because he knows it's the end of the game. It's game, set, and match when you control your sexuality. So the issue of sexuality in the end times, the soul ties, the way you break soul ties is you repent. And you just go back through your past and you just say, "Lord, I repent of that relationship with that person. I renounce that relationship as much as humanly possible. You don't have relations with that person anymore. Take their pictures out of your house. Take articles away that remind you of them." You repent. If there's, and if there, you say, "Well, there's 113 of them." Well, just do a big repentance. And just dedicate your sexuality to God.
Yeah.
And just say, "Holy Spirit, boy, you know, I've done so much damage in this area. Would you sanctify me sexually?" And he will.
Yeah.
He can heal your spirit. He can take away all those unhealthy soul ties. So now you're sexually pure again, and you're able then to have intimacy the way that God intended.
It's like 2 Corinthians 5:17, all things are new.
That's right. Amen. That's exactly right.
Well, unfortunately, we're that time of the week where we're totally out of time for everybody in the studio. And everybody on panel, I'm Joe Horn. Keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. Jimmy, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
We'll be back.